I'm from southern Beirut, so I have a little southern accent. Y'all, so bear with me. That's right. Shabbat shalom, y'all. So go ahead and start the PowerPoint, please. And I just want to share with you a few things. You know, I bring my wife's love with me. Her name is Victoria. Victoria is not here today, but we prayed for you quite a bit, and we are looking forward to really get to know you. And when I came this morning in here, I didn't feel like I'm here for the first time. I felt like I've been here before. So my spirit, you know, is bearing witness with your spirit, and I'm very thankful for all that God has done in your house. And we've been praying for your new church, your new building, that is, and so therefore God is moving so fast. So God is elevating and bringing new elevation toward y'all, and that's my southern accent, and so therefore, so I'm really excited about what God is about to do. Like he said, he was my roomie, and I'm so thankful to God to get to meet him. I'm going like, you know, I have a hint of Jewish blood in me, you know, and that, you know, it's a clash of the civilization between me and me, between the Arab part and the Jewish part. And but nevertheless, I want to share with you what Kuhn Ministry is all about. Our ministry birthed about 14 years ago, and, you know, what I came to do is I was commissioned to come to this nation to change it from the inside out. My commission is called the Stealth Jihad.
What is the Stealth Jihad? It is, did I shut it down? It's not working. Okay, I think I got it now. Now try it again.
Try it again. Okay, it's alive. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So therefore, what happened is I was sent here specifically to change the culture from within. Our jihad, the people of the suit are mightier than the people of the gun. The people of the suit, the one they wear in suits and they look like calm and gentle, speaking nice poetic word, where people like you and what so have you, and they trying to really create entrance into this nation. And these are the deadly one, specifically the one that they are telling you, these radical are nothing like us. We don't believe in what they believe. But in 2004, I came to my wife. I was an executive at Focus on the Family. And I came to my wife and I laid my head in her lap and I said, sweetheart, I want to talk to my friend. You see, I married my best friend. You know, and so I didn't marry, you know, Barbie, but I married my best friend, and she is the best thing ever happened in my life. And I said, and she said, what did you do, Kamal Saleem? I said, I didn't do anything, but you get to change hats. So you have to call on mercy seat. That's Psalms 91. Did you pray Psalms 91 today? So anyhow, with that, she changed hat, and I said to her, honey, I want to come out of my closet. She said, Kamal Saleem. I said, well, wait a second. It's not that closet. She said, well, how many closets there is? So I started telling her what I came to do. And with that, she understood where I'm coming from and where I'm going to. So she said, I will be with you. And I will fight with you. Today, she's my chief intercessor, and she plows everything, and she's the ministry director, so she tells me which way to turn. And so, therefore, I have a winning ticket, and it's not lottery. It's God-given ticket. So, therefore, so when we started the ministry is specifically and uniquely was made, is number one, is to really expose the present darkness that is coming through the jihadist, and not all Muslims are jihadists. You need to understand that. Many Muslims are good people. So we need to understand that, but we need to discern the difference between the radical and between the good, the moderate Muslims. And we'll talk about that. But so the first thing is to reveal the people like me and what we came to do and how we came to do it. The second part is to really educate the church. We are missionary to the church. We are missionary to the body of Christ. We are missionary to the messianic body to educate and dispense, to create an intercessory platform, because this war is not going to be won by a political spirit. It's going to be won by the political, by the heaven and earth, you know, by God of heaven and earth. So therefore, we need to understand our power and our hope doesn't come from us, but it comes from God, maker of heaven and earth. So therefore, this is a spiritual battle, and we need to understand how to fight it. Number three is our job is really to educate on how to reach the sons of Ishmael. And what I'll be speaking on tonight, it's a mandate for the last days. It's a hidden minna that has not been released. It tells you where we are on God calendar. It tells you exactly what's happening in this time. It tells you what God mandate for the original plan for Ishmael and his children. And then it shows you everything, where everything is in the Bible for such time as this, and how God is going to bring 2 billion Muslims to Christ. So tonight you will hear something that you never heard before. But why I'm not speaking about this right now is because I need to tell you about what is taking place and the kind of trouble that America is in. America is in a valley of decision. And when I say America, I'm not saying America, I'm saying the church. Because when God judges America, he doesn't judge America, he judges the church. He judges God's people. He judges us, because he trusted everything into our hand, and now we live and move and have our being in him. Why am I telling you all this? Is because what's happening today, it is so close to change everything in our life as we know it. Before I go, for those that they may have to leave, I have here a book. It's called 10 Amazing Muslims Touched by God. This will show you how the Muslims are coming to Yeshua and how God is appearing to the Muslims by the millions. And this morning I'll share statistics how many Muslims come into Christ, you know, every day. This is my autobiography. This is just partial of my life story. If you want to know more about me, it's right in here. And forgive me ahead of time when you read the bad stuff. This is a book written by General Jerry Boykin and myself. He is the founder of the Delta Force, and he is the Special Forces in America, and he was from all the way from Reagan all the way to George W. Bush Jr. He was hunting people out like me to kill us. My name was on the list. His name was on our list. So both of us were, if we encounter each other, we've killed each other. But today in Christ, we create a platform, and we are preaching together the union of Christ, the one new man. And that is the coalition, me and him. We put our life story to wake up America before it's too late. And there's not too many of those up back there. If you don't know who you're fighting today, you need to get this book. Because this is the political spirit. From the beginning of time, Satan, how he deceived Adam and Eve, all the way to right now, we are fighting political spirit. We are not fighting, you know, just human flesh and blood, but we are going beyond. So we need to understand what are we fighting against and how to fight against this. You know, the word, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. So we are providing knowledge, not for, you know, for you to purchase, but to learn, because we are trying to educate. This is here, it's a Bible, it's in Arabic, and this is what we give to the Muslim as a gift. We owe, you know, and that's a good book, and the Muslim are taught to honor this book and not to destroy it. If you don't know the purpose of your being, what God called you for, and what to do and how to go about it, God never created a church. God never created the church. God's purpose is not to create church. What is a church? Is a gatherer. God created the parliament to go to all nations. My house shall be called house of prayers for all nations. So what God created, he created parliament. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. So we are, just like Rabbi said earlier, he said we are princesses and princes, you know, all together. We are royal priesthood. God knew that when he selected his people, your dirt changed. You are no longer earthly dirt. You are heavenly bound. You are made from different perspective, and God has taken you a new place that you have not been this way before. And we are in this place today where everything's about to change. This is some of my best work, and we dropped this to $40 because we were selling it high at the beginning. This is 12 DVDs teaching. General Jerry Boykin, myself, Tom Doyle, and several others. This is six teaching, about 6 hours. About how the Islamists change America from within. It's called the ugly truth, unveiling the ugly truth. How they destroyed America, and we put everything verbatim, how they did it and who they are, because he sat on the intelligent committee before those presidents, and he will share all these things as we sit together and talk about this. This is about how to reach the Muslims. This is how to go about the psychic and the psychology of the Muslims, who they are, where they're coming from, and how they perceive the Christian and Jews and different things. So this is something to look at. And last but not least, I have here America the Beautiful. Yet America, God created America for specific and such time as this in our world to really create something specific and special to affect the nations. So America is about to lose its luster if we don't wake up. As we say in the Middle East, wake up and smell the hummus. So therefore, therefore, you know, it's time to wake up and see what God has in purpose. Our ministry, we go to colleges, universities, we go to churches, we go to synagogues. We've been invited to many Jewish synagogues, not Messianic. And we told them, you know, they allowed me to come in, and I did not go to tell them that, like I came to convert you, but I came to tell them about what happened when I encountered their Mashiach. So when I met the Mashiach, it changed my life. Tonight, I will share with you the secret that of Ishmael, why God created Ishmael, and what is purpose of Ishmael. The church have failed in reaching the Jews, but Ishmael will not. Ishmael will not. He will affect Israel in the last days. But this is a nugget from tonight, and you really need to hear tonight, because tonight is everything that you want to hear for such time as this. I'm going to share with you some demographic, and I'm going to go through this very fast. Okay, I think I need to turn this one. It works better. So I'm going to paint a picture for you all. So where we are today, USA is declining. Today, our birth rate for any generation, for any civilization, we have to birth 2.11% in order to sustain. And so therefore, America is not doing this. And if you look here, at these are the percentages how America is declining, and these are the years, and we are seeing here how, you know, the older people are increasing and the younger people birth is decreasing. And so therefore, as time passes between 2006 and 2016, we see the older generation will become nearly 100, you know, they're 100% of birth, meaning what happened? America will be birthing less people and more older people, retiree, they will be in this time in life. So therefore, there will be no one to take care of the American people. So therefore, the turning point, it starts in 2030. This, the expand, you know, it will expand dramatically, in every 5 American, there will be one older man. So the country will change. We will not have the military. We will not have the workforce. We will not have the future. And then the adult force could not carry everything else. So they will be out, the older will outnumber the children. And it's projected to take, you know, the immigration is about to take over our natural increase in America. So the number of death in America will change. And as we see here, the mature age increases, the high death rate is increasing, and the low birth rate will decrease. America will decrease. So we see the demographic, the, you know, 2030, that's the point of no return. I just came from Europe. Phil, he's sitting all the way in the back. You know, he is my partner in trouble. And what happened? We went to Europe, and Europe is no longer what it used to be. The face of Europe is changed. When we went to no-go zone area, these people are working round the clock trying to bring about Islamization of the European civilization. You know, if I tell you the statistic that it's taking place, it is staggering. But this will happen after 2030 in America. Why? Because America, by that time, beyond 2030, will grow slowly, the age considerably, and become more racially and ethnically diverse. It will no longer be America currently the way it is. And then the population will be expected to rise up by 78 million people to come to the 400 million people. How's that going to happen? It's going to happen by immigration. So America will change. America will be no longer what the picture is today. Things will overturn. And the older people, like I said, they will cross over. And so America will have to bring about 100 million immigrants. And those immigrants, what happened? Because nobody is populating at the rate of the Muslims, Islam is anticipated. Tonight I will talk about Islamic demographic, the number of people, how they're increasing, how they're populating, but I'll give you a picture. This is the Christians and this is the Muslim. And in here, in 2030, 2035, Islam will go over the Christians. Christianity, you know, the Christian birth will decline and the Muslim world birth will increase. Why am I telling you this? Because tonight, if we don't have the tools to understand how to reach the Muslims and to know the will of God for the Muslims and how to love the Muslim to Christ and how to really change, because when you have 100 million Muslims, they're going to be on every corner of your territory. Are you prepared to speak to the Muslim and share with them the gospel and how to interact with them? If they are not in God's purpose, then what do we do? But if they are in God's purpose, how do we go about this? And they are. So, and this is not a hate message about the Muslims. This is about the will of God for the Muslim. But this is to wake up America. This is a wake-up call. So what happened is, today Christianity is at 33% and Islam at 22%. But the number will change in between 2030 and 2035, where the birth rate will change. So they become, you know, they start outnumber the Christians. And why? Because they took Genesis to heart. Yes. Multiply. What happened is we are looking, it's what's in it for me. And so what happened? We become jacks. What's jacks? Jacks is the one said to God, I'm not doing it your way, I'm doing it my way. And he's singing Frankie song. And I did it my way. So therefore what happened? When Satan fell out of, sorry, that was lame. So when Satan fell out, you know, heaven the first time, the song was written over there, hit the road, Jack, and don't come back no more, no more. And so therefore we need to understand, so we need to understand that, you know, the Muslim estimated 31%, and so the Christian will start birthless, and this number will change a little bit, but it'll start affecting our culture. So as we look at the Christian, we see their birth is at 33% and their death at 37%. That's between 2010 and 2015. We look at the Muslim, 31%, you know, at that time, birth, and 21% death. So, and then we look at the Christian afterward, in between 2000, you know, 35 and over, the birth will become 35% and birth, and then death will be 31%, and the Muslim will accelerate to 36% and 25%. Now, these here, you know, Chintu, Buddhist, Hindus, and what so have you, there'll be decline in numbers, you know, and it demographically. And so when we look at all this, the Pew Research predicted that the Muslim population in America will grow at the rate of 100,000 per year. That's birth alone, by birth alone. And so that's important to understand that. And so therefore, we see in here how this is effective between 2007 and 2017. This is accelerated. It's an acceleration. Here's something. Muslim could not assimilate with the United States of America. Why? What does assimilation mean? Is to assimilate is to bring into the image of the United States of America, traditional, you know, traditionalism, and, you know, to the attitude and custom, to adapt into the American way of life, the true American way of life, to come together and become flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone. The Muslim would want to coexist. Coexist is a bad word. Why? Because coexist is not assimilate. They want to integrate. What's the first one is to become part of us. But since Islam, the religion, the Quran, the Hadith, the Sira, the Sharia. Sharia is the constitution of Islam. It constitutes everything to them. The majority of Sharia, it's made to be a political system and to be a government. It's not made to be a religion. Islam is only 14% religion, and that's the pinhead. But the rest of it, it is political system, military system, educational system, civic system, court system. So they bring all this and they start reforming the nation from within. So therefore what happened is it'll be like this picture. That's what they want to do, coexist. What does it mean? Is they want to bring what they have and now make it part of our civilization and then tell us this is how the way we live. And as they increase in numbers, I want you to focus on this. As they increase in number, so the culture will change. At 2%, the Muslim are peaceful. They are, you know, they are just like us. They are very good, you know, and they contribute in many different ways. But when they go to 5%, they start changing the culture. They start demanding schooling, hygiene, Islamic hygiene, kosher, you know, not kosher, halal, which is like kosher, you know, food everywhere. They could not touch, you know, alcohol bacon, you know, pork. So therefore what happened is they sound like the Jewish, but it ain't, because the God of Muslim and the God of Jews and the Christians are not the same God. We need to understand that. And I will show you by the end of this morning, I will show you why that is. So the fertility rate today, as we look in Europe is failing right now. And so when we look at the birth rate in Europe, it's 2.1. So, I mean, the birth rate that we need to have today, it has to be at least 2.1, which is to bring 3 children per family. Youngsters, I'm talking to y'all. You need to have 3 children. Why? Because when you have one, the family shrink. When you have 2, you replace yourself. When you have 3, you bring an extra person. America has to increase to mitigate the future things to come. And if we don't have that, you know, infrastructure, we're not going to be able to continue the way God called us to do. So, So therefore, what happened is, in America today, is the birth rate is 1.8%. So America is birthing at maximum 2 children. Europe, 1.6, 2 to 1. Globally, the Muslim are the least rate is 3.1, 4. This shift is changing everything, and our world is no longer where what it used to be. So I want to talk about this little boy. There was a little boy. His name was Kamal, and he was born in Beirut, Lebanon, to Muslim Sunni family. My family loved Allah. We loved Islam. I loved Allah. I loved Islam. I thought it's the only way. And I thought everybody should die if they don't believe that. My mom was my teacher. In the kitchen, we had 14 brothers and sisters. We lived in a 3-room house, a kitchen, a living room, and a bedroom. That's our home. 14 plus 2. The projects in America is greater than our home in Beirut. We have living matters that walks around the house because we don't have air conditioning, we don't have heat, so we open the windows. So these things become our toys in a way. We had one bathroom. That's where terrorism started. I was terrorized with style. So you gotta really think about this. How do you do this? You have to wake up before sunrise and get to the bathroom so you can beat your comrades. Because if you don't, you're not gonna be able to make it out. You'll be slain, not by the Spirit of God, but by something else. So in our home, we had a table. It was this high, about 1.5 feet from the floor. And we call it tabli. What is tabli? It's a little table. That's where we eat at. This is where we have break bread. But that's where our madrasa is. That's where our school is. My mother was my teacher, and she was teaching. The girls were taught to be subservient, to be followers, to be obedience, to be almost like a slave to their husband. The Quran says, the Holy Quran of Islam says, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّمُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. There you have it. So it says men are in charge of women. So therefore, the woman has to be obedient to her man, whether he's right or wrong. And then another place, Muhammad says, you know, and the Prophet of Islam, he talked about, he said, Allah created women as half a brain of man. You know, and just as he gave them the period as a punishment, so he gave them the brain, you know, to be, you know, she's not equal to her husband. So a woman could not be, is not able to be equal to him. She is half of his brain. But he missed on my wife, you know, for some reason, because my wife thinks 10 times faster than to my one thoughts. I know, I don't know how she does it. I'm going like, we pray the same way. Anyhow, so what happened is a woman must be owned in Islam by her father, by her brother, by her uncle, by somebody, by a male figure. She could not be free by herself. So somebody has to speak into her life and own her. Muhammad says, I looked upon hell and the fuel of hell was made out of women. Why am I telling you this? Because the Muslim women are so oppressed. They have no freedom like you do in here. And we look at the freedom that was given to us. Freedom did not come even by Abraham, the father of faith. Abraham did not free the woman. We remember when he gave his wife to Pharaoh, said, no, you can have her. It's on the house. So what happened is the freedom came upon humanity when Jesus came to earth. He set the woman free for the first time in the history of mankind. That's the truth. So help me God. So help me Yeshua. So therefore, why am I telling you this? Because women has to reach the Muslim women. They have needs, They have not been loved. Their husband doesn't, they don't give them a whole lot of money. So share with them, lavish on them. Tell them what God did in your life. Share your life testimony. Pray for them. Prayers are very important. When we pray, God moves. God loves to show off when you pray for the Muslims. He loves it because his instant healing takes place immediately. But we'll talk about that tonight. Why is the church is not preaching to the Muslims? So I'm not going to look at those music notes. Kamal was raised by his mother, and out of all his brothers, he was the simplest. He was weak in many different ways. He believed everything, and he had no understanding. And little did they know that he has issues medically, like his eyes, his sugar, his blood sugar, his this, his that. So they were not, and they looked at him as a simple. So to my father, I was not good enough for him as a hustler. But my brothers were far above me, accelerated me. And so my mother said, "You're so pure at heart, one day you'll bring Allah victory on earth. You'll bring victory to Islam, and the host of heaven will celebrate before you." She quoted from the hadith. Hadith is the tradition of Muhammad. Sharia is made from three components: Quran, the holy Muslim book; hadith, which is what Muhammad says and became equal to Allah saying, and greater than Allah saying, above in many different ways. And the last part is sirah. What is sirah? It is the way, the things that Muhammad did not say, but the way he did. The things he did not profess, but the thing he did. So when he said it, everybody followed it. Why am I telling you this? Because many of us, we don't understand where the Muslim coming from. Where the Muslim coming from. God one day encountered a woman. She was running away from her mistress. Her name was Hagar. And God said to her, "Hagar, where are you coming from and where are you going to?" This here to come and celebrate and go and bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that within me, bless his holy name, it's glorious. But if we don't put God to affection like dynamite, if we don't share God, if we don't move in the spirit of the living God, if we don't set ourselves in the fishing in the water that God sent, and not where we fish daily, but where he tells us to send, throw our net. Throw your net to the other side. God is going to do something else. We need to know where we came from and where we're going to. Because God is taking us new way that we have not been this way before. So my life was changing. And my mother was telling me all this. At the age of 7, I used to climb to the rooftop of the building. And I used to cry out to my God in a cold Beirut night. I took my clothes off naked. And I roll in the icy water because all I want is to have a relationship with my God. I want to have a relationship with Allah. I want to hear his voice. I want to know that he is more. So I used to cry to him, "Allah, Rabbi wa Mawlai, Allah, my Lord and my King, if lam takun li, faman li? If you are not for me, who will be for me?" As a child, I was crying out, I want to know my God. I want more because my family is not, they're not cutting it for me. My dad shunned me away, and my family looking at him, bless his heart. Poor thing. And so therefore what happened is I ran to God. But God's voice, his name is Jehovah Shammah. The Lord that hear. He put his voice over there to cry out that he can hear my voice. And that day, my life was never the same again. As a child, I want more from my God. How much more you want from your God? Because if you are happy where you're at, you may as well just fold out and go back home. You gotta want more. Because God has more. One day, this pastor, he was talking at our church. He died on the surgery table, and he was lifted before the face of God. And the angel said to him, "Hurry up, Jesus wants to see you. He's sending you right back." And as he was passing into that place, And then he passed by a place that has many doors. One of the doors had his name. And he said, "Is this me?" They said, "This is you." He said, "Is this my door?" They said, "This is you." He said, "I want to see there." He said, "You don't have time. You got to go back." He insisted, and as he opened this, it was like a city filled with buildings, size gifting, all wrapped together with bows on them, all set together, stacked together. Some of them are city size, some of them 18-wheeler size, some of them small size. And he said, "Are these my gifting?" "These are your gifting," they said to him. He said, "Will I have those when I come to heaven?" They said to him, "No, those are your gifting while you're on earth that you refuse to have." You see, there's none like you. God created you in his image specifically and uniquely to affect the nations. If you look at the book that God wrote in your name, it's an awesome book. I'm still fighting for my, I want to write more in my book. But anyhow, this is how my story started, and I want more. And at the age of 7, what happened is my dad said to me, "Kamal, you're not smart enough. So I'm going to get you out of school. You have to work." I'm going like, I fell on my face right at his feet. I said, "Daddy, send me to school. I'll be a better student. I'll prove you that I'm going to be better. Give me a chance one more time." He said, "You're done." He said, "I wish you were a girl. I'd have gotten rid of you by now." Because in Islam, if you reach the age of 6, they can marry you to anything. But I was a boy. But this is not about to hate the Muslims. This is to show you where we came from. This is to show you how we think logically, especially those that they practice Islam. You know, there are real Muslims. So therefore, my life was changing and everything was elevating. This is important to understand that what we're fighting today is we're fighting spiritual authority in heavenly places, wicked host of evil. And so my life was changing. At the age of 7, I start working. I was making less than a quarter a week. Sunrise to sunset, 6 days a week. And here, y'all, you're just like, you gotta go down to TGI Friday. And you gotta have Friday and Saturday and Sunday off too, because most people clock out early on Friday. They have an excuse. I had a lot of employees at one time. So we have it the easy way. Why am I saying this is just to let you know, these people are persevering for something. What are you persevering for? Where are you going to? Is it about your kingdom or his kingdom? Is it about your world or his world? Is it about your big plasma TV or his kingdom? All of it. So therefore, I start working, and I'm summarizing now. I was beaten every day by different gangs because I have to go through a neighborhood. By the Sunni, different group, by Kurds, by Armenians, by Shia, by different Christian groups. I have to pass by their territories. I was stripped many times from everything I have. I lost my shoes. I don't have anything on me. I don't have money, so I have to walk. They took my lunch that I had to have. They took it from me. Why? Because I don't have anything to offer. Life was not easy. I was being trained to be something. But the Word of God says, "I have a great plan for you," declares the Lord, of hope and future. That hope and the future is in Christ Jesus, because he is the way and the truth and life. And so therefore, what happened when people like you, they do not share the gospel with people like me, you're going to have more terrorists. Because I'm going to bring my belief, my culture, my everything that I have. And if you don't give me what you have, then I'm going to share with you what I have. Can you hear me? So where I'm going with this. My life started in the wrong place. One day I was beaten so severely three times. And I was running into the mosque. Mosque is a Muslim temple. It's not like a church. A Muslim is an advancement place to advance Islamization of a civilization. A mosque is an embassy that represents the Islamic State. A mosque is a place of recruitment. A mosque is a place to create in the image of Allah. Muslims are slaves, and they are enslaved by a spirit of Islam. Islam is not a good Lord. He is a fallen God. He's a fallen God. Why? Because he wants to take the image of God with him every place he goes. Ah. Let me tell you about that fallen God. In the book of Isaiah 14, 12 through 17, this is what happened is, one day God called Satan in. He said, Satan, you have reasoned in your heart. What does that mean? He is already plotting. He has a plot. He have you set your throne above the stars of God. Higher. What does that mean? Akbar. Higher. What is Baal? B-A-A-L. Is Akbar, is higher. Is greater, is bigger, is mightier. And he said, you have set your throne on the Mount of Assembly. That's where Jesus Christ will return. Today they have two mosques, Aqsa Mosque and Dome of the Rock. He said, how have you fallen, son of dawn, son of the morning star? Let's go back. That is the symbol. Son of dawn, the crescent, son of the morning star, the falling star. That is the image of Satan even before Islam. That's what he used time after time after time. That was his image. These are the sons of Belial that the Bible spoke on, if you know what that is. It's called spiritual warfare. So therefore, what happened is my life was changing and I was going somewhere. And that day I ran into a group, you know, I ran to the mosque to hide, and these group of band of brothers came and took me in. They were in the Muslim Brotherhood. Muslim Brotherhood, 99% of terrorist organization came from the Muslim Brotherhood. I was trained when I was 7 years old. I became an image of the Muslim Brotherhood, and this is what we believe in. Allah is our objective. The Prophet Muhammad is our leader. The Quran is our law. Jihad is our way. Dying in the way of Allah is our desire. That's what we long for. Have you thought about if you lose your life for Christ, what would that cost? Greater things you will do than I, he said. And he wanted a cross. Because I go before the Father. God is calling us for higher. That place may cost a life, may take something, but it's worth every bit of it because God's judgment come about. For me, when I go out there, I take my bodyguard with me, yes. And he eats steel for breakfast. But it's not because I'm looking for a fight or show, but because to be wise as serpent and to be innocent as dove. What is that? It's about to go to the places God said go in two. He didn't say go in one. So he will protect my back as I'm looking forward. And he is faithful to give his life for me. So therefore, my life was taking me somewhere and my world was changing. These people took me in. You know, upon the fall of the Ottoman Empire, do you know anything about the Ottoman Empire? Put your hand up in the air. Okay, the one they don't know, get up and leave. How many visitors there is in here today? Put your hand up in the air. Keep it up. Welcome. You have arrived. God bless you. Thank you for being here. And so therefore, why am I telling you about all this? Is to see how these people are abused from their childhood. And so Abu Yusuf came to our mosque and he declared, he said, Islam did not win the war by the Quran. It won the world by the sword. So all of us, We joined a group called Fatah at that time, later on became the PLO. I was 7 years old when I shot my first machine gun, AK-47. I put 30 bullets into the heaven. I know I was transformed. That machine gun can speak for myself because I'm going somewhere. Those people that are beating me up, I'm going to go visit them one by one. And I'm going to show them who is the better man. And so therefore what happened is, my first story was a machine gun. I start going to assault camp. I learned things that you don't want to teach your children. You know, while we taught our children to watch SpongeBob SquarePants, y'all, we were learning how to be snipers, how to take target, how to take people out, children, how to mix chemical. I can make explosive when I was a kid. I still can make it with the things under your sink. I learned all those. We learned how to do stuff that your mind would never thought about. But thank God for Hollywood, they're showing us a lot, right? In new teaching, biblical teaching. So therefore what happened is my life was going a different place, and now I was trained to be assassin, I was trained to be killer, I was trying to be, you know, and Israel did not know about people like me. Because the Jews don't use children to do stuff. So who thought about child soldiers? I went to Israel my first time. I was 7 years old on my first mission. Carrying weapon caches, dressed like a Bedouin. And the second time, I was 8 years old. I'm about to cross my time where I need to stop. I'm going to summarize through all this. I went from those mission to do a mission through the Mediterranean Sea, going to Haifa and Jaffa, to do assault missions to kill Jewish people right through Zodiac boat. We were trained by the Russian commissars all the way in Romania by the Black Sea. KGB was our fathers. We were trained with the best of the best of the best. And so therefore, but we realized there's something happened. Every time we attack Israel, they win and we lose. And we could not figure it out. So somebody taught us, he said, well, the Muslim time has not come about yet. Oh, okay, the Muslim time has. But we have to continue jihad. Yay, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So therefore, we're advancing forth and what so have you. But then the civil war took place in Lebanon. We slaughtered over 140,000 Christians. We want to establish Islamic State. You see, you don't see it here in America. You live on an island. IHOP is down the street. All you can eat, pancake and Golden Corral for dinner. So you got it all. And why am I telling you this? This is not you, but many American people are living in a different world. Alter reality. So from there, I went to Tora Bora. My last war was in Tora Bora. And from Tora Bora, I was commissioned to come to the United States of America. And I was working for the Saudi government, our friends, the Saudis. Why am I working for the Saudi? Because they gave more money to our cause than anyone else. My first check that I received, it was $70,000 from a prince. I was a little boy. At that time, it was a whole lot. Yasser Arafat kissed my face with his hummus breath. It was deadly. He said, my son Kamal, you're known by how much money you raise. So therefore, the Saudis sent me, commissioned me to America because I wrote a letter. I said, we're going to lose the war in Afghanistan because the American people have given their life, their finances, their children, their military, their weapon, everything to defend a bunch of Afghanis that nobody cared for them in the Muslim world. And these people are coming to defend them, and we have not made our decision yet, and we are just looking at this on the side. These people will win the war, and we will lose the war. They said, go to America and take it to the streets. I came in 1980. If I tell you how we came, it's scary. It's coming through borders. It's not coming through airports. That's when it came. You see, I don't have problem. I have no problem with Mexican becoming American citizen. A lot of them are good Christian people. I have a problem with OTA. What's OTA other than Mexican? This is why I'm, you know, I don't want, because I know where my people came from. But then I was sent here. I got a visa from Saudi Arabia, and I was sent here as a student to infiltrate your culture, your school system, your professors, your politicians, your poor neighborhood, your jail system, and every other place in between. America slept until 9/11. This is when America woke up for the first time, and they hit the snooze button and went back to sleep. And I'm summarizing everything because I want to come to the best part of this whole thing. One day, I was driving down the street, and I got in a car wreck, and my car was broadsided by an 18-wheeler. My little red car turned to a little red croissant. That's French bread, y'all. And I was raptured out of my car, 6 feet up in the air, going somewhere, only to fall back on my head, cracking my neck in two places. And I cried, "Allah, where are you?" Allah didn't answer. A man came and he stood over me. He said, "Son, we're going to take care of you and everything's going to be all right now you're here." I thought, "Allah, I asked for help. Why are you sending me a redneck?" The ambulance come and take me. Take me to the hospital, and now in the hospital, the orthopedic surgeon tell me everything verbatim. He said, "You have no friend, you have no family, you have no insurance, you are a French lad. I came with a French citizen." You know, he spoke about a lot of things. He said, "But son, we're going to take care of you, and everything's going to be all right. Now you're here." That's the second time. Wake up in the hospital second day. The head of physical therapy come and tells me everything word for word, the same like the other two. So now I'm going like, "Oh my Allah." What we say is, "A'uzu billahi minash shaitan rajim bi ismillahir rahmanir rahim," which is, "Depart from me, Satan." So I'm praying against Satan because these people are saying the same thing. You see, we came to measure your country, to know your infrastructure, to know where's the power, where's the weaknesses, when the time come in to change the culture in a moment like this. So we knew everything about you, but these people knew everything about me. And also I saw myself like Adam in the garden, naked. There's a point of nakedness. This is when you either hide or you either say, "Have your way with me." And so therefore, what happened is one day, you know, the three people showed up and they start hugging each other. I'm going like, "Oh, my Allah," they know each other. They're kissing and hugging and telling each other, "God bless you." And they said, "We're going to take you home, Kamal Saleem, because you have, the hospital's going to discharge you." I said, "But I ain't going with you home, y'all, because you're foofy Christians. You kiss and hug. This is weird." The orthopedic surgeon took me home. At their home, the first time they gave me their choicest room. I never slept in a bed like this. The room was so beautiful. It was their little daughter room. It was full with ruffles, crocheted stuff, pink and peach. It's called Taming Spirit. But that bed, I was transformed with that bed because it was down feather something. You know, I never slept at a feather. I always slept on the floor. And now I'm sleeping in a real bed. But three little kids jump on the bed and they start calling me, "Welcome home, Uncle Kamal." And I'm telling them, "Get off my bed, little monkeys." Well, to us, you are monkeys and pigs. That's what our Quran, that's what our holy book said, that Jews and Christians are monkeys and pigs. In this place, you got it both. Because you're Jews and believers. So therefore, these people, these little kids start laying hand on me and start praying in the name of Jesus. I start crying out. The first time in my life, I didn't know how to defend myself. There is power that is greater than sword, than the machine gun, than bombs, than curses, than fight, than all element of things. It's called, his name is Yeshua. And his name is higher. You know what I answered those kids? That day I cried out like a baby because I don't know what to do. I'm in cast. I'm going somewhere. And now I'm watching the whole family become my biggest movie screen. These people, how the husband was treating his wife, not like how my father treated my mom, or my uncle treated his wife, or my brother treated his wife, or my brother-in-law treated my sister. The husband, she was his equal. He's a top surgeon in that nation, in that city. And he was so amazing. And yet his wife said, "Honey, they're coming home soon. Go clean the bathroom." I looked at him, I said, "Don't do it. Don't listen to her. She's an old maid." He said, "She's my queen." I said, "She doesn't tell you. You tell her." He said, "No, she's the love of my life." And he's looking at me like a child, immature, have no idea where he's coming from or where he's going to. So therefore, what happened is, I told him, I said, "If you come to Beirut, I'll give you four women from 16 all the way down to 6. They are, you know, like a cucumber fresh out of the bush. It'll bend left and right and it'll give you 10 children each." And he's going like, "But I have what I need." And I'm looking at him like, what's wrong with him? He's whooped. He cleaned the bathrooms. He cleaned the kitchen. He did dishes. I'm going, he's smitten. It's magic. Black magic. That's what it is. She's praying over him while he's sleeping. We really have a lot of, you know, things. That, at least that's my family. I'm not talking about all Muslims. My family, where I came from. And so therefore, I saw how he's teaching his children, how he adored them, how the mother telling them to be honest when they fibbed, how they bring them up. And I was going like, I was becoming jealous. I want to be like them. Because everything that I was taught, lying in Islam, it's okay if it's against your enemy. It's righteousness. Many different things. It's okay if it's against your enemy because they're enemy. They're not worth it. But now I'm sitting next to these people, how they are training their kids to be leaders. Little by little, I was terrorized by that unconditional love. That unconditional love that was coming at me. They were treating me like a human being, not like a martyr or jihadist. So therefore, they were, you know, coming all together. One day, the door opened and 60 men walked in. And these men, they came together. They're businessmen from the area, Christian from all different flavors. Mix and match, Baptist, Methodist, evangelical, this, holy rollers, you know, the whole nine yards. and these people were sharing with each other the issue and praying about things. And then at the end of the night, they opened a basket that said for Kamal Saleem. And I'm going like, oh my Allah, what are they going to do? They're going to put me in the basket. And they start putting checks and money, cash and checks out of their need to free what I owed through this car wreck. And so this unconditional love, I could not understand it. Truly, I was terrorized by love. And now I don't know what to do with it. And now these people stood there and praying for me. And I'm thinking, these people know who I am. I got to do something. I got to burn the house with everybody in it so nobody will know who I am. And these people praying for my healing, for my future, for my life, for my spirit, for my soul, for my finances, for everything. I spoke from my belief, and they spoke from their belief.
One day, I
have an issue here because my English was so poor. They had this thing called potluck. Potluck, I thought it's a prophet or a spirit. Because they had it every week, and I didn't see him. I'm going like, it's like God. He's everywhere. Potluck. Well, it has two names, pot and lock. But everybody bring food to celebrate. I'm going to celebrate this potluck. Where is he? They said, this is it. Everywhere. I'm going, whoa, oh my Allah. So one day, the hostess of the house, she was sick and having 100, over 100 fever, 103. And then what happened? They said, let's put her in a hot chair. I'm going, she's burning with a fever. You don't put her in a, you put her in a bathtub. What's wrong with you? Y'all? And so therefore, they put her in the hot chair, and they said, let's lay a hand on her. I'm going like, oh, they're going to whoop the something out of her. Because in Beirut, if we lay a hand on you, you will not be walking for 3 years. And so therefore, what happened is they laid hand on her and they start praying. And here everybody was praying. And then I was introduced to something else. They called machine gunners. These people were praying like this. Good. Whoa, what is that? And the woman got out of her chair, the fever left her, and she was healed, and she walked to the kitchen and became Martha Stewart. I'm going, I want that stuff. I want that magic. Can I have it? They said, yes, you can have it. I said, what is it? They said, well, his name is Yeshua. I said, well, I'm allergic to Yeshua. Can I just have the magic without him? They said, no, it's inclusive, everything together. Cutting off through everything. One day, they sent me home. They gave me set to their keys. I became their Nana Kamal. Yeah. I made nachos for them. I made a lot of things, and hummus too. But nevertheless, I went home, and as I was going home, they gave me a set of keys, and one of them was a key to my brand new car. You see, my RX-7 was destroyed. They bought me a 280ZX. I'm going, who do you want me to kill for this? No, we don't want you to kill anybody. No, I mean it. I'll kill anybody. No, you don't. Just take it. We want to bless you. What's wrong with you? Get it straight. I'm going home, and now I go home, and I fall on my knees. And I felt I lost everything because my treasure was no longer where I came from. I want to be with them. Like, keep me a couple more months because I'm not feeling well yet. I don't feel like I'm a real boy yet. I don't know what a real man is. Allow me to be something. Allow me to be something else. And these people were loving on me. And now this I took with me home and I fell on my knees. I was looking toward the east, toward Mecca, where I prayed before Allah. And I cried out with a loud voice, Allah! Allah! Rabbi wa Mawlai, my Lord and my King, why have you done such a thing to me? These people are crazy. They have a conversation with their God. Their God speaks to them. Oh, they call him daddy. Oh, they ask him for everything, for wives, for husband, for money, for health, for miracles, and he gives it to them. Allah, I want to have a relationship with you too. I want to hear that you love me. Allah, if you're real, speak to me. Guess what Allah said? Some of you know who he is, don't you? He does not speak. And so therefore, I decided to kill myself that day. Why? Because I'm not going to let my people kill me because I'd have done it to other people. I would lynch them. If I go to my father or my camera, are they going to kill me? So that day I said, I'm going to kill myself. But I said to Allah, I said, if I kill myself and I see your face and you say, Kamal Salim, you go to hell because you killed yourself, I'm going to say, I'd rather live in hell than live with you because you're a liar and a father of lies you are. I thought he's going to kill me right away, because that's what the hadith teaches, that if you curse God and you're a true Muslim, you will be killed. Nothing happened. As I went to reach for my gun and put it in the right place and finish my story, I heard a voice. This voice, it's my first miracle in my life. I never heard a voice before. I should have heard voice when I was on the other side, voices, but I didn't. So that voice called me by my name. He said, Kamal, my son. He told me right away that he's my daddy. Kamal, my son. Kamal, my son, I am the God of Father Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Call on me. I fell on my knees and I cried with everything within me. If that voice told me so, I want more. I want to know who is the God of Father Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And I cried with everything within me, God of Father Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, if you are real, speak to me. If you are real, I want to know you. Well, the father voice dissipated. And behold, he stood there in a room. He stood there. And in his presence, there's a fullness of the whole things, of the whole world. He's the center of all things. He's the element. All matter created in him. He's the living God. In his hand, there's holes. In his feet, there's holes. He put a tallit on his shoulders. He looked. I'm going, this is the Messiah. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Yeshua is Lord. I knew him. When God created you, he created you in his image, because he sent his image to walk among us. So we're created in the image of Yeshua. Amen. Have you figured that out? And I'm going like, I wish I can tell you the fullness of all things. I said, who are you, my Lord? He said, Ana Huwada. He spoke in Aramaic. He said, I am he. I am that I am. I said, what is that supposed to mean? I have no clue. He said, I am the Aleph. I am the Tav. I am the beginning. I am the end. I have known you before I created the foundation of the earth. I have loved you before I formed you in your mother womb. Kum Kamal, arise. The spirit of resurrection raised me to my feet. The transformation took place. I was no longer where I came from. I was now going to where he sent me to. Kum means arise. That's what he said to Lazarus. He said, Lazarus, kum. He said to Talithia, kumi. The church is not dead. The church is sleeping. That day I said to him, my Lord, I will live and die for you. He said, do not die for me, Kamal. I died for you that you may live. Huh. But I'm a warrior. By the skin of their teeth and by their eyelashes, I will make them Christians. Allow me to, Muslim style. He said, the harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. Be an ambassador of mine. Why would you want to take me? Why do you want to choose me? This is exactly why he chose you today. You are not a mistake. You are not a hiccup. You are not a burp that your mother and father and ate dinner and had you. You are special, created in the image of God for such time as this. Your problems are your greatest ladder to go to high places. Don't let sin hold you back. Don't let affliction and scars nail you to the ground, but let them to be stars and stripes on your shoulders. God has taken you a new place. You have not been this way before. This place is not about your circumstances. This is about his circumstances in your life. I tell you, do not look at things that they are made out of this, but look at the things that we do not see. Because in his presence, there's the fullness, everlasting life, here and after. Today, I would say to you, if you have not made Christ your Lord and Savior and King, if this is you, with every eye closed, with every head down, say, this is me, Kamal. Pray for me, because nobody loved me. Because nobody saw me. every eye closed, every head down. If this is you, say, Kamal, this is me, pray for me. I'm going to pray with you. That's what it's all about. If this is you, say, Kamal, I have not been born again. Show me. I want it all. I think everybody is saved. If you have not been infilled with the Holy Spirit, say, Kamal, I want to be infilled with the Holy Spirit. This is me. Pray for me. Don't leave home without it. With this, thank you so much. Thank you for allowing me to speak into your day. And thank you for putting up with me and my story. God bless you, and God bless our nation.